God. Amen. Please be seated, friends. So last night during our pancake supper, Augustine, who's seated in the back there, Tug there, she came and asked me, could we turn off all of the music and go around the room and each talk about what we were giving up for Lent? So I have a feeling that it's not just Augustine, but I think a bunch of us here have been doing this serious thinking and kind of preparing for this day for a little while now. We have a sense that this moment that we're entering, the season of Lent, it isn't like a new year where there's a new slate and we might be focused on self-improvement, but rather we know this is a time where we are all thinking about our attachments and what gets in the way of our relationship with God. Deprivation is for the sake of making life more bare so that we can see God's role in our lives more clearly. That's the idea, at least, right? What was interesting to me about Tug wanting to have this group discussion of Lent plans were two things. One was that she had been thinking about this and prepping for this in a very serious way. She has been reflective. And two, that she would like her community, all of us, and all of us gathered last night, to be involved in her commitments for Lent so that she can be accountable and relational and share in this Lenten experience together. And I think that these are important for us today as we reflect on entering Lent together. First, that act of self-reflection, self-examination, asking where are we in our faith? What do we prioritize over God? What gets in our way and holds us up from having a deeper connection to God? Where can we make more space and more clearly mark God and move God towards the center of our hearts and lives? And it's by doing this work, looking at our lives, that we come to tonight with full hearts, knowing who we truly are and the ways that we have fallen short of the love, the creativity, and the generosity that we've been endowed with by our Creator. When we take time to reflect, we might see the times that we've held on to rage, times where we've been unsympathetic, where we've been quick to judge someone, where we've insisted on our own rightness above all else. Good self-reflection takes time because we need to be able to move through it honestly and look at our lives with some bit of distance, too. And when we examine, we also see that there's an opportunity to do something about this all. In our culture, when we examine ourselves, we might look only at our faults and then fall into a shame spiral and feel that we are not good enough or not deserving. But in our life together, our life with God, we are called to something very different. Instead of falling into a shame spiral, we can see that we are clearly called towards reconciliation. We entreat you, Paul says, to a reconciliation with God. Paul says that when we are reconciled, it doesn't mean the end of all pain and suffering. We still have to take part in our existence, on our lives, on this level. We keep living this life. There are going to be moments of struggle and difficulty, even with reconciliation. But in the opportunity to reflect on ourselves and come to God this day in particular, is to come with this contrite and penitent heart and to ask God for forgiveness. The remarkable thing, of course, is that God loves us just as we are, just right now, even with our faults, even with our shortcomings, even with our constant failure to live as we know we are called to live, and even with our inability to be understanding with those who are closest to us, perhaps. Even just like this, we are profoundly loved. But there is great and liberating freedom if we examine our lives, we reflect on where God is moving, and then we share with God our desire to be reconciled. The freedom offered to us by God is a freedom to see ourselves, our neighbors, and our family as beloved children of God and realize that we are on a journey with them. This call for reconciliation is offered for our sake, that our lives might be more filled with the purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God that Paul talks about in the letter to the Corinthians. Before this all seems too sweet and easy, it should be said that there's an urgency, too, to this day. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. the urgency of the fact that we will return to dust doesn't need to be born out of a fear of death, a fear of mortality. Rather, in the words of the blessing that Mother Kimberly often offers at the end of the service, she says, "Life is short, and we don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those in our lives, so be quick to love and make haste to be kind." It's not repent and be penitent because you are about to die, and we as people tend to be fairly scared of our own mortality, but rather, in this time that we have been blessed with here, can we use it best and be reconciled with God? The urgency is here because there is good news of what life can look like once we are reconciled with God. But there's this interesting connection on this day between our penitence and our mortality. In being reminded of our sin, our vulnerability, our shortcomings, we also glimpse the fact that we will not have all of our time as these particular embodied beings. That is, we will indeed die. When we prayed our collect prayer, we asked that God make in us new and contrite hearts in order that we understand the path to reconciliation with God and then the life eternal. The urgency is for the desire to be right with God, remembering that after death is promised to us the eternal life. In our Lenten journeys, I think we can often get caught up in our own failures, our own deprivations, which makes sense because we're thinking about our Lenten disciplines and practices as our own. What am I giving up to Lent? What are you? It gets in the way of our relation. It gets that way because we think about what's in our way of relationship with God. And I think I've just been speaking for about the last 10 minutes or so about the process of self-reflection and self-examination. It's no wonder, therefore, that Lent can feel like it's our personal journey with God and our responsibility to behave in some new way. Last year, though, I had an experience of a more shared Lenten journey. My best friend and I resolved together to give up gossiping. And I have to say, we totally and utterly failed. Again and again and again we failed, and we kept blaming our mutual friends. "They're tempting us," we would say. "They're making such ludicrous life changes that we absolutely have to gossip about them. We can't help it. It's their own fault." And we were laughing about how God really must have wanted us to struggle with this during Lent because we kept having obstacles in our way to succeeding at Lent. But as I think about it now, there was something really special in this time together because she and I remained committed even as we utterly failed, and we remained talking about it, about what was making it hard, about why we had wanted to give up gossiping in the first place, and how God really did want us to refrain from our gossipy judgment of our friends despite their very silly choices. The doing of this together and being in constant conversation and reflecting on how Lent was going so poorly for us was good for us, even if the outcome was not the cessation of gossip that we had imagined. Instead, the outcome was we had a lot of conversation about what God wanted from us and the superiority that was a corrosive element to our habit that we knew God compelled us to do better with. The process of committing together to a Lenten discipline not only kept me accountable, but also kept me far more penitent and engaged. Because of doing it together, I didn't mind the failure so much because I was failing with someone else who I know and love. So perhaps, like Tug wanted to do last night, perhaps seeking out a friend here at church or a spouse or someone in your family or someone somewhere else in your life, and asking them to engage in some reflective conversations over these days of Lent so that you might have the chance to work through some of this and make space more clearly to see that each of you and both of you are loved by God and how life with God at the center of your heart is more possible when you're on this journey together. Amen.